This is number 0056, the Stuff File Program with Peter Anthony Holder, and it comes to you right now.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
Now, it's time for an eclectic mix of interviews and some of the oddest news stories you'll ever hear. It's the Stuff File Program with Peter Anthony Holder.
Hey there, hi there, ho there. Peter Anthony Holder here with you, and yes, this is indeed another edition of the Stuff File program, number 0056. And coming up on this edition of the Stuff File program, you'll meet Corky Ballas from Dancing with the Stars. You know, he says as big as dancing has become with the show, he thinks it could even become bigger.
I've always felt that the dance business is a sleeping giant, because one thing wonderful about dancing, it doesn't matter how bad your problems are or what's going on in your life, when you get on the dance floor, you forget all of your trouble. It transcends you to another planet while you're dancing on the dance floor, and then it's great for exercise, it's great for memory skills. It's just an amazing way to let your problems melt away.
Andrew Vazakis, the night sky guy, is back, and he has a space science conspiracy to keep information from the public.
The big thing here is that the same scientists that are leaking this data have really sort of wanted to keep all this data. They've pleaded basically with NASA authorities to keep these data close to themselves without revealing anything for at least the next year. And that's caused a big kerfuffle, because NASA is funded by taxpayers' money. The idea here is that all these scientists may be having really amazing discoveries that they have, but they're trying to keep it secret. And then on the other hand, they're kind of leaking out some of this information.
Stuart Nullman is here with another edition of Book Banter.
I'm Stuart Nullman. On this edition of Book Banter, pop culture maven Chris Epstein talks about how he made a career out of worshipping rock and roll and classic TV shows in his memoir, Hello, It's Me, as well as an overview of his other fascinating journeys in pop culture books. All this coming up next on the Stuff File program.
We'll check the mailbag.
Incoming subspace signal.
And of course, we have lots and lots and lots of stuff. And, you know it, an idiot of the day. The guest later, the person who told you this was show number 0056, is Travis Todd, the promotions producer at Global Montreal. And as you know, you can check out Global Montreal on cable channel 3, Illico channel 8, UHF 46, and Bell Satellite channel 234. Thank you very much, Travis, for being the guest later on this edition of the Stuff File program. Let's get right to the stuff, shall we? And we start off with a story that comes to us from Germany. A German man's habit of taking naked walks to reduce his stress levels backfired when his latest escapade triggered a police search and closed down a rail line. Police in the western city of Solingen said that a woman was out walking her dog and she saw the man, who jumped onto the train tracks and fled. She found his clothes nearby and reported the sighting to police. Police closed the rail line for an hour and a half. An hour and a half because of a naked guy, and sent up a helicopter to try and locate him. Again, an hour and a half and a helicopter for a naked guy. He eventually turned himself in, saying he panicked after being seen and fled home. The 42-year-old told officers he often took naked walks because it helped him combat stress. The man could now face a fine for trespassing on railway property. Ooh. That seems stressful. Meanwhile, looks like our British friends are sick and tired of living on streets with embarrassing names. Dozens of city councils across Britain have reported cases of residents changing the names of streets that have caused them years of ridicule. In one case, along with the general humiliation, the inhabitants of Butthole Road even had to put up with busloads of U.S. tourists visiting to have their picture taken near the road sign after the street appeared in an American tour book and on the internet. The name, by the way, which is believed to have once referred to a communal water butt located in the area, has now been changed to Archer's Way. Bladder Lane in Plymouth is now Boniface Lane. However, it seems that not all residents are upset by an unusual address. In Northamptonshire, residents asked that their street, Rectory Close, be changed back to its original name, Cracknuts Lane. So, there you go. Okay, here's an example of bad. You're in a car accident. Here's an example of worse. You flip your car in the process. Here's an example of worst. The city gives you a ticket because you didn't keep your vehicle in a single lane. It happened in Rome, Georgia, where 20-year-old Dalton Clay's Pontiac Sunfire hit a power pole and overturned. Amazingly, Clay was not injured in the accident, but even more amazingly, Rome police officer Allison Tiller said Clay will be charged with failure to maintain a single lane in the wreck. Wow, that's a little harsh, don't you think? I think so. Okay, let's talk about the dangers of Jennifer Lopez movies. And I'm not talking about the one that she did with Ben Affleck called Gilly, which is a danger all to itself. It turns out that in Milton, Florida, 34-year-old Shannon Riska was arrested after she allegedly attempted to burn her husband's boat, go-kart, and jacuzzi. Her husband, Robert, said this was all the result of her insane jealousy after she found him watching a Jennifer Lopez movie. When deputies arrived, they noticed a boat parked in front of a trailer and that was partially burned. Flames had reached the side of the trailer where the couple lived. Robert also told police Shannon drove off in her vehicle with his dogs, saying she was going to, quote, put them to sleep. Of course, she claims she did nothing wrong and Robert is the one who set everything on fire. The case is being investigated by the state fire marshal's office. I'm thinking this is a couple that could use perhaps some marriage counseling, or maybe separate addresses altogether. Okay, on to Louisiana. The Webster Parish Sheriff's Office said a bicyclist inching down the center of the road ignored lights and sirens and ran into a police car. 47-year-old Robert Earl Batten of Minden was booked with second offense DWI and possessing marijuana. A sheriff's office press release said a deputy tried to pull Batten over late Saturday after a vehicle almost hit him. The deputy turned on lights and sirens, then pulled ahead and got out. Batten passed the officer and broadsided the police car. The news release said a breath test registered alcohol blood levels at 0.270%. That's triple the legal limit. Triple the legal limit. Riding a bicycle. Okay. And finally, in this section of Stuff File News with me, Peter Anthony Holder, in what could be a first in American law, Arizona attorney Charna Johnson may face disciplinary action after an investigation found that she told a client that she was channeling his dead wife, then told the client the wife wanted them to have sex. She then allegedly lied about it during an unrelated disciplinary proceeding. Johnson began representing the client in 1999 in divorce proceedings after meeting him in a ballroom dancing class. The client's wife committed suicide the following year, and Johnson handled the probate matters. According to a report, within days of the death, Johnson began telling her client that, quote, his deceased wife Jan had come to her and that Jan's spirit was inside her and that she could communicate Jan's thoughts. The client testified that Johnson pressured him to have a sexual relationship, although she told the investigator that the references to sex were coming from the deceased wife, not herself. The report recommends Johnson be suspended for 6 months. What? Wait a minute. You want her practicing law again? Suspended for 6 months? She gets to continue as a lawyer after she's been supposedly channeling a previous client's dead wife? And, you know, even if she could channel a previous client's dead wife, that somehow seems to be a conflict of interest. But I digress. Anyway, they met where? At a ballroom dancing class? Dancing's very popular these days, you know. Very, very popular. And that is a subtle segue to the first guest on the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder. On the line with us right now is international dance champion Corky Ballas. You know him well from Dancing with the Stars. He also has a close personal connection to three other dancers on the show, and he's trained several others. He joins us now from California. Hi, Corky.
Hello, how are you doing today?
I'm fine. Thanks for being on the program with us. You have quite a history, a resume of dancing. What was it? Dance champion, the 1996 Open to the World Championships, International Championships, Open to the World British Championships, twice British National Champions, Star World Cup in the UK. You've basically done it all, and you, if you don't dance on Dancing with the Stars, you trained everyone on Dancing with the Stars. How did this all come to be, first of all, with the Dancing with the Stars show?
Well, I think, you know, I've had such a long career over the last 30 years competing in the ballroom business. And, you know, the show came along and I just happened to be at the right place at the right time. That's kind of what's happened.
As popular as ballroom dancing has been literally around the world, it's something that doesn't necessarily or hasn't necessarily before shows like Dancing with the Stars caught on like wildfire in America. Are you surprised by how big this is becoming?
I am, and I've always felt that the dance business is a sleeping giant because, you know, one thing wonderful about dancing, it doesn't matter how bad your problems are or what's going on in your life. When you get on the dance floor, you forget all of your troubles. It transcends you to another planet while you're dancing on the dance floor. And then it's great for exercise. It's great for memory skills. It's good for, it's just an amazing way to let your problems melt away.
Now, on Dancing with the Stars, you were partnered up. It's a legendary situation. You were partnered up with Cloris Leachman. What was that like initially when you first met Cloris and you knew she was going to be your dance partner? What went through your mind and what were your concerns and how did she allay any of them if you had any?
Well, I can just tell you it was like a wild roller coaster. It was I had my ups and downs. I she was 83 years old, so I had to take it easy with her and build her stamina up little by little, but her cute personality, believe me, kept us going every day. There was never a dull moment with Cloris Leachman. Let me tell you, never a dull moment is what I can tell you.
When it comes to Dancing with the Stars, and again, as I said, you've trained a lot of the people who are on that show, including your son, who was on that show as well, correct?
My son?
Yeah.
Yes, my biological son has won season 6 and 8, and my other half son just won 10 and 7, and then my half daughter won 4 and 5. So my three kids have won six out of 10 seasons on that show. So it's been a wonderful ride for them as well.
We should mention your son is Mark Ballas, and the other two kids you mentioned, Derek and Julianne Huff, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
So
Derek moved into my home when he was 10 years old, and Julianne moved in when she was 7.
It must be a great sense of pride to see them performing on the show as well for you.
It's amazing. It's, every time, as each year passes, their dancing improves. So it is, it's, I just can't even describe how that makes me feel when I see them doing that.
How did dance come to you in the first place? Because as I mentioned earlier, even though ballroom dancing is world renowned, with the death basically of the big Hollywood musicals, a lot of dance went by the wayside until recent days with shows like Dancing in the Stars. So how did dance come to you?
Well, in 1960, my father was a president of Fred Astaire Dance Studios, and my mother was a flamenco dancer. So I just kind of grew up in that, I just kind of grew up dancing. A lot of music, a lot of people playing instruments, and, you know, we were always, on Sundays, we'd put music on and dance. That's what we did.
So it is literally in your blood then?
I think so. Yes. I would say I was just kind of born with, dancing.
Now, there are some people who are great performers. There are some people who are great teachers, and sometimes the twain does not meet. In your case, you are a world-renowned dancer and a world-renowned teacher. Can you teach anyone how to dance?
I can teach you to dance in under 2 minutes.
Really?
That's really. And I don't care if you have three left legs and one leg or whatever. I can get you dancing very quickly.
So as I was about to say, you just touched on it, the old adage that, you know, some people say they have two left feet. You just don't believe that at all.
I do. Now, I must say this. You have to want to learn. So if you don't want to learn, then, you know, I can't help you. But if you really want to learn, I can get you going in 2 minutes.
And how elaborate can someone who has never danced learn how to dance, you know, beyond basic steps?
Well, I think we see that. That's what makes Dancing with the Stars such an amazing show. We've seen a lot of people do that. They don't start out so good, and a lot of them make it to the semifinal. Some make it to the final. It just depends on how much that person wants to learn and apply themselves. You know, when you focus on something, you become that.
I alluded earlier to the fact that Hollywood musicals have gone by the wayside, but I tend to believe when it comes to entertainment, a lot of things are cyclical. Do you think the Hollywood musical will return, and would you like to see that happen? Would you like to participate in that?
I would love to see that happen. You know, the one thing about, you know, dancing and singing and those kind of things, I'd love to see all that come back, like in the old days. You know how we had the wonderful Fred Astaire, Gene Kelly movies?
Right.
I would love for something like that to come back around and do that with a modern edge.
Now, are you going to be working on the next season of Dancing with the Stars?
You mean the season coming up?
Yes.
On season 11?
Yes.
Yes, I will. I'm actually dancing on season 11.
Do you know who your partner is going to be yet? I know the partners were announced recently.
My new partner is America's mom, the one and only great Florence Henderson.
Excellent. So you're dancing with Florence Henderson. So what is the process like when you are first introduced to your new partner? What's the first thing that you do dance-wise?
Well, it's like you said, you know, Florence has no ballroom experience. So literally in about 2 or 3 minutes, I had her. What I do is there's eight basic steps that you must learn. Like, I'll tell you, step one is walking forward. Okay, you do that every day of your life. And then step two would be walking backwards. And let's say step three would be taking side steps. You know, like when you go to the movies and say, excuse me, going left, right, left, and then you go the other way. Well, those are your first three steps. So what I do is then I show you the sequence of moving forward, back, and side. And before you know it, you're dancing. So that's the very first phase I go. I break it down that simple where you think, oh, I can do this. I can step forward. I can step back. I can step side. And then I just put it in a sequence, and then it starts to, you know, the patterns get a little bit more complicated. But when you get down to the foundation and the root, you're either stepping forward, side, or back. You know, and when you start figuring out that it's that simple, you know, you start thinking, hey, I can do this.
Now, you have several weeks when you first meet your partner to the time you get to that first show on Dancing with the Stars, which I can understand the process going through that with someone who may not have danced before, and you learn to dance with them, and you teach them, and you get them to the point where they can do that first show. The part that I find daunting is that after that, should they succeed and go on to other shows, you've got to learn a new dance each week.
Yes, but it doesn't matter. They still are made of those forward, back, and side steps. They just get a little bit more intricate, but, you know, I can show you that any dance has got those patterns to it. It's just knowing how to amalgamate the pattern.
Wow. Well, we look forward to seeing you on the next season of Dancing with the Stars. Again, you'll be dancing with Florence Henderson. And people could also check out your website, correct?
Yes, I'd love you to.
And the website,
the website is learningtodance.com.
Learningtodance.com.
Learningtodance.com is the website. And, of course, you can check me out on Facebook, Corky Ballas.
Excellent. Corky, I thank you very, very much for taking the time to be on the program with us.
Hey, thank you so much. And, you know, hopefully one time I can talk to you with my lady Florence with me.
That'd be great.
Okay, thank you so much. You take care.
Corky Ballas from Dancing with the Stars. Again, you can check out his website at learningtodance.com. And by the way, that's numerical too. So that's learning, the number two, dance.com. That's learningtodance.com. You can also go to my website at thestufffile.com. Go to the What's On page for this show, which is show number 0056, and you'll find links to Corky's website.
You're listening to the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder. Drop Peter a line. He'd love to hear from you. You can email him at peter@thestufffile.com or catch up with him on Twitter or Facebook. There's more Stuff File coming your way in just a few moments.
Peter Anthony Holder here. Have you ever noticed on some of those public broadcasting pledge drives, they tend to sound like ransom demands in a kidnapping?
Hey. Your kids like this, Mr. Rogers. It would be most unfortune if, for some unforeseen reason, you weren't in the neighborhood no more.
Well, I'm here to ask for your support in a non-threatening, non-obligatory kind of way. Part of the success of the Stuff File depends on the generosity of its listeners worldwide. So if you can, and if you want, please feel free to make a small one-time donation. Just go to the website at thestufffile.com and click on the PayPal donation button. You can donate $10, $5, or even $1, whatever you'd like.
You know that big bird? That would be one huge drumstick, if you know what I mean.
If you have a PayPal account, it's an easy transfer. And if you don't, all major credit cards are accepted. Your generosity would be much appreciated in keeping this show running.
About that antique roadshow, they might be seeing a little more concrete than they originally anticipated.
No strong-arm tactics, no ransom demands. Just a simple please and thank you. To donate, visit thestufffile.com.
Informed or entertained? Hey, you're doing both. This is The Stuff File with Peter Anthony Holder.
And still to come on the program, we'll talk to Andrew Vazekas, the night sky guy. We'll check the mailbag. Plus, there's also Stuart Nullman and another edition of Book Banter. And, of course, an idiot of the day. But right now, right here, more stuff for your listening pleasure. You know, they say that just about anybody can find love. Well, I guess this seals the deal. Remember the world's most famous police beating victim, Rodney King? He became a national symbol of police brutality and a human piñata when a video camera caught a group of white cops repeatedly striking the black cab driver while he was on the ground following a high-speed chase. Four officers were tried for using excessive force but later acquitted, sparking race riots in Los Angeles that left 55 dead and more than 2,000 injured. Well, Rodney, now 44, is engaged to one of the jurors who awarded him a $3.8 million settlement in a civil trial. King and Cynthia Kelly said they first felt a romantic spark when they met in the Newport Beach pizzeria the day after the controversial 1994 jury award. Both were married at the time, but they later separated when King joined the cast of VH1's Celebrity Rehab with Dr. Drew after multiple arrests for being under the influence of PCP or alcohol. I know what you're thinking. He's quite a catch, isn't he? Anyway, they then reconnected after not speaking to each other for many years after King called Kelly on a whim. King says, "She's a godsend, a blessing in my life. I don't know what I would have done without her in my life. I can't wait to make her my wife." I wonder where they're registered. I might want to send them a... Oh, no, I don't. Anyway, moving right along. In North Belle Vernon, Pennsylvania, Damon Baker was desperately trying to battle his burning house with a garden hose. He said he was trying to save his pet reptiles when police arrived. But the police told him he had to stop and three times tried to remove him from the scene. But Mr. Baker wasn't budging, so they tased him. By the time firefighters arrived, the fire had spread to two other houses, and six of Baker's 11 snakes had died. They tased him. They tased a man trying to put out the fire at his house. They tased him. Yeah. Moving right along, every weekend for the last 4 years, parishioners of the New Beginnings Ministries Church in Warsaw, Ohio, have gathered in front of the Foxhole Strip Club in nearby Newcastle and tried to shame customers by photographing them and posting their license plate numbers on the internet and brandishing hellfire-threatening signs. Well, recently, Foxhole strippers have joined the duel, congregating on Sundays in front of New Beginnings, wearing bikinis and see-through shorts, dancing scandalously, squirting each other with jumbo water guns, and wielding their own Bible-quoting signs to greet the day's worshippers. I wonder if parishioners at the service is up as far as attendance is concerned. Story doesn't mention that part. Anyway, moving right along, a man who berated a woman who had more than 10 items in the express lane at a Saukville grocery store has been given a disorderly conduct citation. The Port Washington woman said she asked the express lane clerk if she could check out because there was no one in line. While she was checking out, a male customer approached and began harassing her, even calling her fat and ugly. The woman said that's when she called 911. Officer Barry Effinger, and I'm sure he must have had a hell of a time growing up with that last name, said the man was creating a disturbance, so he gave him a $429 citation. Effinger said he has investigated similar conduct by the man in the past. I'm just wondering, you know, I'm sure he's going to scream First Amendment laws, and in the case of truth and honesty and journalism, for instance, I'm just wondering, what if, and I'm just saying this hypothetically now, not pointing fingers or anything, but what if she was fat and ugly? Was he making an erroneous or embarrassing or insulting statement? I'm just asking. Okay, stuff to ponder. Moving right along, it's easy to avoid the tax man if you're a witch, and the presiding Senate happens to be terrified of witches. In Romania, lawmakers of the ruling Democratic Liberal Party drafted a law where witches and fortune tellers would have to produce receipts, pay taxes, and would also be held liable for wrong predictions. But the Romanian Senate voted it down because apparently many of the lawmakers were frightened by being cursed. Maria Campina, a well-known Romanian witch, told TV reporters it is difficult to tax thousands of fortune tellers and witches, partially because of the erratic sums of money they receive. Really? Ladies, it's called a ledger. Perhaps you could conjure up a spreadsheet, maybe even buy Quicken. These are just some thoughts. Feel free to jump in with a, you know, spell or two. And finally, in this section of the Stuff File News with me, Peter Anthony Holder, she may be 64 years old, but one Kansas City woman can still take care of herself, thank you very much. Police say the woman's neighbor, Lawrence K. Saunders, broke into her home, took off all of his clothes, and the victim awoke in the middle of the night to find him standing over her naked. He allegedly grabbed her arm and said he was, quote, just being friendly. The woman then grabbed his ZZ Top-style beard and proceeded to drag him to the front door. When she tried to throw him out, he allegedly grabbed the woman's throat. She picked up a tape measure and bonked him on the head 3 times. He then left. Police arrested Saunders and charged him with burglary, sexual misconduct, and 2 counts of assault. You go, girl. You show this ZZ Top wannabe who's boss. There you go. Okay, let's get to our next guest here on the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder. Joining us once again via the communication of Skype-to-Skype technology is Andrew Vizekas, the night sky guy, as we look towards the heavens from either our backyard or from other telescopes, talking about space exploration and science news. Hi, Andrew. What do we have in the news this time around?
Hey, Peter. There's always stuff happening in the night sky, and, you know, nothing short of this time. And NASA, big news here is NASA has may have been holding back some data, very important data regarding finding the Holy Grail of astronomy, which is looking for a twin Earth. And they basically have a mission, a space telescope called Kepler that's been whirling around in orbit around Earth for many months, basically staring at the same patch of sky 24/7, searching for planets outside of our solar system, with the ultimate goal really to find an Earth-like, another example of an Earth-like planet. Now, what's interesting is that in the last couple of months, NASA has sort of leaked out some very interesting data through public talks, no less. Scientists that are involved in the mission have given public talks where they've kind of leaked out data suggesting that they've literally found scores of Earth-sized planets out there. And this has really caused a lot of buzz in the online community, space buffs. It's made the headlines in all the major news services. And the big thing here is that the same scientists that are leaking this data have really wanted to keep all this data. They've pleaded basically with NASA authorities to keep these data close to themselves without revealing anything for at least the next year. And that's caused a big kerfuffle because, NASA is funded by taxpayers' money. And it's a government agency. And the idea here is that all these scientists may be having really amazing discoveries that they have, but they're trying to keep it secret. And then on the other hand, they're kind of leaking out some of this information.
What is the reason behind wanting to keep it secret?
Well, one of the big things is they're saying that they need the time to confirm a lot of this very interesting data that they're getting, the data that suggests that there are Earth-sized planets whirling around other stars. And they just need more time to confirm it. They don't want to have any bogus claims going out. And I think they have that merits some attention, and that I think they're right in that. They just do need the time. But on the other hand, some folks in the scientific community are saying that you can't just sit on this data. They don't have enough manpower to go through all this data quickly enough, and that if they could just share the data that in the scientific community, they could find these Earth-like planets much faster.
So is it this a situation basically of discovery bragging rights at stake?
Very much so. I mean, this is really, as I said, like the holy grail in astronomy, and their astronomy teams of scientists around the world, different teams that are just racing to be the first ones to announce the discovery of an Earth-like planet. And it's one of the, it would really be one of the biggest discoveries because, we've cataloged about 440 planets outside of our solar system. And the vast majority of those are the size of Jupiter and Saturn. So meaning they're gas giants, mostly made of gas. They don't really have a rocky surface. And when you get down to planets that are around the size of the Earth, maybe what we call super Earths, maybe one or two times, a couple of times larger than the Earth, they tend to have rocky surfaces. This is what the physics is telling us, physics of the universe as we understand it, that they would be rocky. And that's a necessary component to have, like, things like oceans, maybe, that would cover it. So liquid water and such. So have a habitable conditions on the planet, potentially. So, and because the ultimate goal here would be not just to find an Earth-sized planet, but an Earth-sized planet that has a habitable, atmosphere and environment, have possibly water, clouds, all of that, all of the stuff, the ingredients that make up Earth.
Basically, we used to refer to, as far as Star Trek fans are concerned, as an M-class planet.
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly right. And that's really what they're trying to, the ultimate goal would be. And it's very elusive because it's just, they're so tiny, these planets, compared to the parent stars that they're going around. It's just very difficult to find them. It's like literally a needle in a haystack. So we're just on the verge. Our technology is just being able to detect it with telescopes that we're sending in orbit are sensitive enough to find them. And Kepler may very well have those bragging rights of finding the Earth-sized planet, but it's just a question of when When will the astronomers make that announcement? Will it be next month, or will we have to wait a year?
Now, it's interesting because in the world of space exploration, there's been have been all kinds of space conspiracies, none of which hold much water, pardon the pun. But here's a space conspiracy that might actually have some legs. So we'll see where this one goes over the next little while. In the meantime, speaking of sending things out, I understand there's going to be a solar probe.
Yeah, it's another thing that sounds very much like out of a Star Trek episode. NASA is now has in the works a sort of like a compact car sized spacecraft that is going to dive bomb in towards the sun. This is going to happen in about the year 2018. Before the year 2018, they plan on launching this probe, and NASA just basically announced the suite of instruments, scientific instruments, that are going to be piggybacking on board this intrepid little spacecraft. And it is going to swing by the sun the closest that we've ever gotten, basically as close as 4 million kilometers from the surface of the sun. Now, that sounds still like an awful big distance. But when you consider that the Earth is sitting at 150 million kilometers away, it's really very close. In fact, the outer atmosphere of the sun is going to bathe the spacecraft. The spacecraft is going to be in the atmosphere of the sun. And we've never sent a spacecraft this close. And it's really testing our technological capabilities. This is going to be the most challenging mission ever attempted by humans in space exploration.
Well, how do they know, based on what they do know, how close this thing can get before, I assume at some point, because you said dive bombing the sun. I'm assuming it won't get near the sun. I'm assuming that at some point it's got to burn to a crisp.
they hope they don't get to do too quickly, at least. They're planning on sending the spacecraft in a kind of a convoluted elliptical orbit. So sort of like an egg-shaped orbit around the sun, getting a sort of like a kick from by going close to Venus, which is the second planet from sun. Venus is basically going close to Venus as it orbits the sun, the planet will slightly tweak its orbit so that every time it passes, or as the months go by, as this mission goes on, it'll go by Venus frequently. Every time it does that, it will tweak the orbit such that it'll get closer and closer to the sun until it reaches about four or five million kilometers from the surface. In fact, if you were hitchhiking on this spacecraft and you would look at the sun, the solar disk will loom 23 times wider than it does in the skies of Earth. Wow. So it's going to be very impressive. The imagery that the spacecraft will send back will be very impressive. And the data, the information that we're going to learn from the sun is going to be key to our understanding things like these explosions that happen on the sun regularly that affect our satellite communication and things like that cause the auroras that we see, but sometimes really cause geomagnetic storms that affect our technological savvy society today. This satellite will really be integral in unlocking some of the deepest mysteries of the sun.
They haven't named it Icarus, have they?
Yeah, that would be very appropriate. But right now it's got this very plain vanilla name of the Solar Probe Plus.
Okay.
But I hope they come up with something nicer than that.
We have just about a minute. You've talked about stuff that we are sending out to bombard the sun. What about things coming toward us?
Ah, well, this is big news too. And this past week, the big news has been that two asteroids passing near Earth. On Wednesday, September 8th, we're talking about two asteroids that passed within the moon's moon's orbit. Imagine this. They were visible basically from with large-sized amateur telescopes, just barely, very faintly, you were able to see it.
So when you say within the moon's orbit, are you talking between the Earth and the moon?
Between the Earth and the moon. These okay. two basically giant space rocks are slid between Earth and the moon. One of them passed within 154,000 miles. Now, the moon's average distance is 400,000 miles, so just to put that into perspective. So, and then the other rock passed at 49,000 miles. So that's really awfully close. And this just, I think, highlights, you know, that, you know, we really didn't have much of a warning. These rocks were just found a few days before their close encounter by a large observatory here on the ground. And we just, you know, the word spread online, and you know, an army of amateur astronomers notified to keep track of this. But we don't have much warning for these rocks. And these two rocks, by the way, were about 50 feet in size.
Well, and there was nobody around to yell duck, interesting enough. Always a pleasure to have you on the program, Andrew. Where can people find you, and what's happening with you these days?
Well, people can find me online, of course, at my website, thenightskyguy.com. I'm also on the Weather Network nationally in Canada on every Friday evenings. And people can also check out my latest stargazing articles on the National Geographic News online.
Thank you very much, Andrew.
You bet. Clear skies.
Andrew Vazekas, the Night Sky Guy. You can check out his website at thenightskyguy.com. And, of course, you can also find the link on my website at thestufffile.com. You're listening to The Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder. Time to check the mailbag.
Incoming subspace signal.
And we have a couple of items in the mailbag this time around. The first one comes in from Will B., and it comes in via email. Will writes, I have enjoyed listening to your show immensely since I first discovered the original radio version randomly on the internet. Your style of reporting and knack of finding stories that are, well, funnier than anybody else's has given me so much joy. Having recently returned from a very stressful teaching assignment in Korea, I can't thank you and your team enough for all the laughs. Listening to the programs helped me find the energy to get through many a stressful subway ride. Now, when I go back to visit Asia someday, I know which airline to fly with. Thank goodness I can fly China Airlines and save the power of my MP3 player while I listen to your show in their Dynasty in-flight entertainment program. Cheers from Will, originally from Pittsburgh. He's now a travel writer for Examiner.com, a travel insight writer. And I guess what Will is talking about there is the fact that starting this past September 1st, a few weeks ago, this show is now heard on China Airlines on their Dynasty in-flight entertainment program. So yes, Will, if you're traveling on China Airlines, you can hear the show and save your MP3 player and its batteries. And again, thanks for the very kind letter. I appreciate it immensely. And thanks for listening all these years, not just on the Stuff File, but also the previous radio program as well. Second letter we have came in via Facebook. This comes from Kelly M. And he says, or she, I'm not quite sure. Kelly can be either or. Kelly says, I'm a transplanted Canadian who listens to your program in the UK. I know you had another transplanted Canadian, Steve Walsh, who was your man in the heart of America, checking the pulse of the nation. I always enjoyed his segments, but I haven't heard from him for a while. When will he be back on the show? Well, Kelly, Steve is currently working as a press secretary for a Republican U.S. congressional candidate who's running in the upcoming November election, so that doesn't allow him the time or, frankly, the opportunity, due to a conflict of interest, to continue the segments on the show. But that is an issue we will revisit after the election. If his candidate loses, there really won't be anything stopping him from being on the show. And if his candidate wins, there is still a chance. But again, we will have to cross that bridge when we get there. I will, however, pass along your kind words to Steve when I speak to him again, as I am in constant contact with him. Steve and I have known each other for almost 30 years when we worked together here in Montreal at a radio station. And we're both big Boston Red Sox fans, so there you go. Anyway, that's the mailbag, and this is the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder. Stick around. Coming up, we have Book Banter with Stuart Nolman.
Got something for the mailbag? Send your email to mailbag@thestufffile.com. And remember, stuff is spelled S-T-U-P-H. That's mailbag@thestufffile.com. Stick around. There's more Stuff File coming your way in a moment.
I'm Bob DiRico Jones. The pencils have been sharpened and the notebooks are ready for big ideas. It's back to school time. Our children have already come home with some assignments, not only for themselves, but for my wife and me. If you're a parent, you may know what I'm talking about. Nowadays, one of the first things that many schools ask parents to do during the first week of school is to sign several waivers and authorization forms. By acknowledging our responsibilities up front, schools hope to minimize conflicts and even protect against lawsuits. These kind of forms weren't required when many of us went to school, but we're in a different time now. One study reveals that roughly half of all teachers and administrators said that they've been threatened with a lawsuit. Let's be fair, teaching is a pretty tough job these days, and this is a good time to remind ourselves that we're all teachers too. Our children watch us to see how we handle difficult situations, and we constantly need to use these opportunities to teach them the importance of respect and civility. You can learn about our effort to bring more civility to the civil justice system by going to my website at bobdirigojones.com.
What are they saying about if the rains don't cleanse? New York Times bestselling author David Mixner says, as a writer and advocate for Africa, I could not put down Ben Patrick Johnson's If the Rains Don't Cleanse. Aubrey Hooks, the U.S. ambassador to Ivory Coast, says, fascinating and hard to put down. If the Rains Don't Cleanse is CNN breaking news disguised as historical fiction. If people can't put it down, then why haven't you picked it up? If the Rains Don't Cleanse, the tale of missionaries in 1950s Belgian Congo is loosely based on my own parents' lives. It's available online, including Amazon.com and Amazon.ca. I, Ben Patrick Johnson, want you to read this book. My mother, Avidale Johnson, wants you to read this book. Now remember, this is a woman who survived as a missionary in Congo half a century ago. She is tough. Now do not make me send her your way. If the Rains Don't Cleanse, get it now, or deal with my mother. From our studios in Montreal, Canada, and going out to the rest of the world, this is the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder. It's time to crack a spine. The Stuff File presents Book Banter with Stuart Nullman. Once again, here's Peter Anthony Holder.
And we do indeed have Stuart Nullman with another edition of Book Banter. Hi, Stu.
Randy, you're a fine girl. What a good wife you will be. Hi, right, Peter. How's it going?
Do you want me to play the part of Paula or the part of Simon? Which one?
Well, I'll have to think of that one. Let's see. Can you play guitar?
There you go.
Well, the reason I sang this song, it's not because I like it. It was part of my growing up. It was part of Chris Epting's growing up.
Ah, yes, yes.
And there's a reason behind that. I'll tell you shortly in his memoir, Hello, It's Me. It's a fun book, actually. Now, for author Chris Epting, pop culture was and is his life. Now, for many baby boomers who grew up during the 50s, 60s, and 70s, pop culture meant that during your preteen or teenage years, you would obsess over a favorite athlete, sports team, actor, TV show, movie, or rock star, and do everything in your power to catch their latest releases at your local theater or on TV, see a game, be the first on the block to get their latest albums, get the best seats for a rock concert, get an autograph, or even better, get the rare opportunity to meet your idol in person. And when you usually graduate from college, build a career, marry, and raise kids, these adventures into the world of pop culture fade into memory. And that's not the case with Chris Epting. For over four decades, he has turned his pop culture adventures into a personal passion. And he has transcended his passion into a successful career as a journalist and author, whose books include James Dean Died Here, Led Zeppelin Crashed Here, and Roadside Baseball. But how did Epting develop his status as a bona fide pop culture junkie? It's all told in his equally fascinating memoir, Hello, It's Me, and the title, if you're familiar with rock music of the 70s, it's borrowed from a hit song of the same name by Todd Rundgren, who Epting believes is one of the greatest yet underrated rock musicians from that decade. Now, from the time he bought his first rock and roll record in 1972, which was Brandy, You're a Fine Girl by Looking Glass, to his diligent work as a consultant for Hampton Inn's Save a Landmark program, Epting chronicles the four decades of how he turned pop culture from a personal obsession into a major part of his life and career. It's a collection of anecdotes and reminiscences that get more interesting as you continue along with the book. There are encounters with celebrities, quests for autographs and interviews, rock concerts and baseball games, poignant moments, and even obtaining rare and sometimes kitschy memorabilia. And how these moments fall into his lap are the combination of both sheer dumb luck and a great deal of diligence and dedication. Now, some of my favorite examples in this book, and I'm just scratching the surface here, is at the one time when Epting literally bumped into Alfred Hitchcock in 1974 at the Century Plaza Hotel in Los Angeles. The 75-year-old legendary master of suspense reacted by tousling Epting's hair and saying in his characteristic British drawl, I'm going to do a very bad imitation, I find it appropriate for a young man to be creating such chaos in a public place like this, and I do trust he'll be watched closer. And also during a stint as an ad agency copywriter, in which one of his clients, believe it or not, was the inaugural edition of the MTV Music Video Music Awards, Epting spent some time during the ceremony in a cramped utility closet at Radio City Music Hall drinking whiskey with Rod Stewart and Rolling Stones guitarist Ronnie Wood. Wow. Now, lavishly illustrated with photos from the author's personal collection, Hello, It's Me is a treasure trove of a memoir of an individual who was fortunate enough to make his passion a lifelong one. It will certainly satisfy those baby boomers who basically spent their younger years immersed in the world of pop culture. And for those who collected 45 RPM records, Donny Osmond posters, Aurora plastic model kits, or Topps baseball cards, but were forced by their parents to throw them out by the time they graduated from high school, the books of Chris Epting are finally their salvation and a ticket back to the fun, innocent world they knew when they were growing up. It's called Hello, It's Me, Dispatches from a Pop Culture Junkie by Chris Epting. It's published by Santa Monica Press, and it's $18.95.
You know, I've had the opportunity to talk to Chris Epting on this program on a couple of occasions and to talk about this and other books he's done in the past. And the one thing I've always found fascinating about Chris is he has a wide-eyed, I mean, you mentioned his passion before, he has a wide-eyed enthusiasm for what he does. And you can feel and hear the love that he has for what he does when he talks about it and when he writes about it. So that's always fun to experience.
And you know what? If you like this book, gives you a taste of some of his other books, and you should read them, like James D. Died Here, Marilyn Monroe Died Here, Led Zeppelin Crashed Here, and also Roadside Baseball, because he goes to these places, and he does all this deep research, and he meets people, and he takes some great pictures, too. And, I mean, you find some fascinating stuff when he writes about his travels. I mean, like I said, you get a taste of his other books in Hello, It's Me. And also, I found something interesting. I was looking through Roadside Baseball, and the original stadium where the Hollywood Stars minor league baseball franchise played, well, I mean, the place was torn down, but in its place is CBS Television City. Wow. In Hollywood.
Okay. And when you talk about his book, Marilyn Monroe Died Here, that's D-Y-E-D, where she used to get her hair done. And I believe there's Elvis Passed Here, was that another one?
Yeah, Elvis Passed Here.
And that's where he played football.
I almost thought it was like a morbid thing, but it's like a play on words. But he goes to all the popular and some of the obscure places where a lot of pop culture history took place, and that's what I love about the books. I mean, he went to the cornfield where that famous scene where North by Northwest was filmed, where Cary Grant gets chased by the crop duster.
Right.
He visited that site.
Wow.
And it wasn't in the Midwest; it was in California.
He's got a great job, and he enjoys it. He's a fun guy. As are you, Stuart. How can people find your reviews?
Every week in www.westendtimes.ca. You can read them all online.
Excellent. Thank you very much, sir. Stuart Nullman, and another edition of Book Banter here with me, Peter Anthony Holder, on The Stuff File.
The Stuff File.
And we're almost completely done with this edition of The Stuff File program. But of course, before we wrap things up, there is one thing to do, and that would be to share with you the idiot of the day.
And now it's time for the strange things adults do. The Stuff File presents the idiot of the day.
Two McDonald County, Missouri jail inmates are accused of breaking out of jail and then back into it. Eric Bishop, age 26, of Rogers, Arkansas, and Justin Forkham, also 26, of Anderson, Missouri, are back in custody, albeit in different jails and in different counties. The two escaped from the McDonald County jail last week, breaking out by punching out a ceiling panel, then knocking a hole in the metal siding of the building. The two left the jail to buy meth. The pair made it back into jail and were present when jailers conducted an inmate count. However, once deputies viewed video evidence collected by cameras located at a nearby school, they were able to find out what had happened. The two were seen on the video footage. The pair also stole a truck from Pineville, then later set it on fire as a diversion. They probably returned to jail to avoid a charge of escape, which carries a mandatory 5-year prison sentence. Oh, here's the kicker, by the way. Bishop would have been released from prison later in the week. So I ask you, Why would you break out of jail only to break back into jail when you are scheduled to be released the following week? One reason, and one reason only. You're an idiot.
Gee, I'm only a kid, but even I know you're an idiot.
And that's the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder, number 0056. The website is thestufffile.com, where you'll find information and links on all of our guests by going to the What's On page. Just look for the corresponding program number, and again, that's 0056. Email me at peter@thestufffile.com. You can also find me at facebook.com/PAHolder and twitter.com/PAHolder. Hope to see you back here for our next show on the air, online, or as a download. We're coming to you from everywhere, including CyberStationUSA.com, KDXRadio.com, AirChecker, Canada's number one radio source, streaming on PCJMedia.com, aboard Taiwan's national air carrier China Airways for their long-haul dynasty flights, and over the air on World FM 88.2 in New Zealand and Gold FM 90.5 in Singapore. Bye-bye.
Been listening to the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder, a presentation of Flying Fish Communications. Void where prohibited, offer slightly different in Canada. For a complete transcript of this program, next time write down everything Peter says.